Do you want to learn effective ways to build relationships, generate sales, and grow your business from successful entrepreneurs, startups, and CEOs without listening to a long, long, long interview? If so, you've come to the right place. Gresham Harkness values your time and is ready to share with you precisely the information you're in search of. This is the I Am CEO Podcast.
Hello, hello, hello. This is Gresh from the I Am CEO Podcast, and I have a very special guest on the show today. I have Chris Chansey of Amplio Recruiting. Chris, it's awesome to have you on the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, man. I'm excited.
No problem. Super excited to have you on as well. And what I wanted to do was just read a little bit more about Chris so you can hear about all the awesome things that he's doing. And Chris is the founder and CEO of Amplio Recruiting, a staffing company helping great companies hire dependable employees from the refugee workforce. In 2018, Amplio hit $4 million in revenue and placed over 800 refugees into jobs in Atlanta, Houston, Dallas, and Raleigh. They aim to be in 25 markets by 2025 and plan to release a book this fall on the economic impact of refugees in the marketplace entitled Refugee Workforce. Chris, are you ready to speak to the IMCO community?
Yeah, I'm excited. Let's roll.
Let's do it. So the first question I had was to hear a little bit more about what I call your CEO story and what led you to start your business.
Yeah. Thanks for asking and giving me the chance to speak. I think, you know, my story, I feel like, is just very average in a lot of ways. I did not come from a business background. I remember the first opportunity I even had to kind of be put in a position of leadership within a business. My direct report at the time was telling me describing what a P&L was. And I remember writing down the letters P&L, three letters. I got it. And so I feel like I've really come a long way since then. But most of it's been through failure, just failing forward and figuring things out and being willing to try some stuff. And so, so my wife and I moved into a community, here outside of Atlanta. And at the time we were looking for a good deal on a house. And we knew that this community was somewhat of an international, community, thought there might be some good restaurants to check out, but we had no clue that it was really a refugee resettlement community. And so for about 30 years, this community outside of Atlanta called Clarkston had been really a center for refugee resettlement, and it's called the most diverse square mile in the country. Mm. And so pretty quickly we started thinking through what potential ways we could serve this community is pretty unique. And as we met our neighbors and got to know a little bit more about who they were and where they were coming from, we realized a lot of them just were eager to get back to work. You know, when before they were displaced from their home, they had a job. And as we all know, there's a lot of dignity in being able to work and work with your hands and be proud of what you've done. And so we started looking at potential companies we could start to hire people from the community. And really what we landed on was, man, there's a lot of companies who need to hire dependable people. There's a lot of people in this community who've been overlooked, but really have a lot to add in terms of just being really hard working people and really dependable people. And so we said, let's just start a staffing company. We have no background in staffing, but we can figure it out as we go and really connect these two groups. And so so that was about 5 years ago. We launched into Amplio Recruiting, and it's been a crazy journey, but we've seen a lot of companies be tremendously impacted by hiring people from refugees and just recognizing that the media and a lot of the political rhetoric we see around refugees is to kind of help us either believe that they're a charity case and they need a lot of support, or they're a terrorist threat and then we need to watch them very closely. But in reality, they're a workforce. They're a group of people who want to work hard and add value and pay taxes and contribute to their local community.
Nice. And I appreciate you, you know, touching on that, because I was just going to ask you a little bit more about like kind of the narrative and the definition of, you know, what a refugee is and what that looks like. But I'm glad, you know, you definitely touched on that, because I think a lot of times, you know, sometimes we forget that work is a part of you. So when you aren't able to work, whether you're a refugee or anybody for that, you know, example, or you're not, you know, fully fulfilled in whatever you're doing, that does, you know, can be really, really frustrating. So I appreciate you for, you know, identifying that. And even though you didn't have that background, you said, but in true entrepreneurial form, you created something that helped create like win-win-win opportunities for lots of people.
Yeah, that's what the most exciting part is, that there's so many companies that, you know, we talk to on a daily basis, and they would say, you know, the CEO I'll talk to, and he'll say, you know, I thought that, the hardest part about making this business successful would be to secure the right patent. Or, you know, the a lady will say, man, I thought the hardest part was going to be finding a co-founder who could really run with me. Or, you know, there'd be all these things that you think is going to be the most challenging aspect of starting and being successful in business. And none of them would say, I thought my hardest, the thing that I was going to struggle the most with was finding dependable people. That's always kind of seemed in the past to be sort of something that you just kind of take for granted. And I think we're realizing now in the labor market we have, there's 7 million open jobs in the U.S. 7 million jobs will go unfilled this year.
Wow.
Most of those are in manufacturing and hospitality. Those are two of the industries we serve. And so we just recognize we've got a lot of dependable people who are legal to work. They're already in the U.S. So whether or not you agree that we should continue to let whatever all, the bottom line is there are people who are already here who are legal to be here. So why not give them the opportunity to contribute and you know, take these jobs and provide for their family and create greater stability for them and their community as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I appreciate you for sharing that. And you're absolutely right. I've been to networking groups and talked to business owners. And sometimes the frustration is just finding the right people to put in the right spots. And, you know, it's always kind of like a thing that you're always looking to do. But it's great that you guys are kind of like matchmakers, so to speak, where you're finding those, you know, organizations and companies that can use, you know, the refugees and the workforce and then, you know, making that connection. So I wanted to drill down a little bit deeper and hear a little bit more on like how the process works, how you help support, you know, the refugees, but also the businesses and organizations, and what you feel kind of is like your secret sauce.
Yeah, that's such a great question. You know, in reality, you know, the staffing industry has been around for a long time, and as we kind of stepped into that world, there was a lot of things I knew that we could benefit from and learn from what staffing has done really well. It's a great business model. It's very profitable, but of course, we all recognize there's a reputation that comes along with staffing the connotation there may be that that people are not treated fairly and that people could be taken advantage of. And so we wanted to be very aware of that from the start of how do we set ourselves up so that we're telling a different story, that we're going to come along and provide the same workers' comp and the same payroll services. But at the end of the day, the people we're placing on our payroll and then eventually on the company's payroll are people who are really dependable. You're gonna see an increase in retention. The industry standard in staffing is right around 40%, and our retention rate is right at 80%. So double the industry standard. And it's not a lot because we're doing anything really special or unique. Really, talk about secret sauce is really connecting deeply with the refugee community. So we see increase in retention. We see an increase in productivity as well. We've got a company not too far from our office here that manufactures different types of baby products, and they sell in Walmart and other stores around the country. And their average quota when we started working with them was they needed someone who could hit about 300 a day of whatever the different items they were working on. And within just a couple of weeks, we had placed a group of Burmese women. And they were hitting 600. One lady was hitting 900 a day, three times what the quota was. And so not only did production increase, but the rest of the people working at the company were saying, hey, if they can do 900, you know, we should be able to at least do 400 or 500, right? So everybody's production increases. In that environment, it's not like it's a sweatshop. There's everyone sitting down in padded chairs, great lighting, music playing. They love what they do, but there's more efficiency and focus brought to the work. And so we get to see that across the board. But I think one of the things we've tried to do from a secret sauce standpoint is just say, hey, we're putting people over profit. We're still going to charge you just like any other staffing company will, but we want to communicate very far in advance that this, we can't work with every company. We've got to know, we haven't got a clear standard of who we're going to work with. We put every company through a 30-point scale to determine they're the right fit. And then, over the last year, we became a B Corp. So we're the first and only staffing company to become a B Corp certified. And
nice.
It's hard to imagine that that's the case, but hopefully that there's a standard there that other staffing companies can adhere to as well to say, you know, let's take care of the people, because that really is the lifeblood of a successful staffing business.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that I know I've heard a little bit about B Corp, but I've always, the way that I've always heard it and kind of defined it, I guess you can say, is kind of all along the lines of service and having a really strong purpose. So a lot of people, you know, when they want to support organizations, they want to support businesses, having and being able to be a B Corp is definitely, you're not just doing things just for the sake of doing them. You're doing them for a purpose and a cause. So I definitely appreciate you and appreciate you for getting that designation and, you know, congratulations on that as well. So I wanted to switch gears a little bit. And I wanted to ask you for what I call a CEO hack. And this might be like an app, a book, or a habit that you have, but it's something that makes you more effective and efficient.
Yeah, I mean, that's such a great question. And I think if there's anything, there's very little that I do well. I think it's failing forward and just learning from mistakes. And so there's been a couple. I'll mention maybe one book and then maybe one habit really quick. So one book that has been really key for me is called Making Money is Killing Your Business. Making Money is Killing Your Business. Chuck Blakeman is the author. He's a mentor and a friend of mine, and just really logical, insightful, hard-hitting, really good practical book on how to grow a successful business and not just something that's just going to generate some cash. So I really like that. And then for me, I think recognizing that getting up in the morning early and having some time to really be able to focus fully on what has to get done today before I get kind of pulled into everything else during the day has been important. And so the only way I was able to accomplish that was really just recognizing what is like, what's the, like if there's something that's necessary and it's like highly, high necessity for me when I go to sleep, there's a really strong chance that I'll get up at 5:30, 6 a.m. and knock it out. But if I don't go to bed with a sense that this is highly urgent and necessary, then it's a little bit easier to sleep until 7 or whatever and kind of be pulled into the day and then I'm trying to catch back up. So I just have a clear sense of what's the one thing that's got to get done and I know it's going to force me to wake up and get it done in the morning before I get going with the day.
Nice. I love that because it's kind of like you're starting tomorrow, the day before yesterday, because you have that momentum because you're already prepared for exactly what you want to do. And then it just kind of, I imagine.
Yeah, definitely.
Nice. And now I wanted to ask you for what I call a CEO nugget. And this is a word of wisdom or piece of advice. You might have already touched on this, but this is something you would tell your younger business self.
Yeah, one of the things I've really started settling into is, again, kind of talking about this whole theme of failing forward and learning from our mistakes, is I talk a lot about victory is victory. And so there's just something for my own self, just kind of thinking through that this whole vector principle, right? Of like, if you know where you want to be eventually, then it's that process of taking small steps every day to get there. And if you start a few degrees off course today, then you're going to wind up way off of where you actually want to be in the end. And so whatever that vector point is, setting your sights on that and knowing I'm going to make a few steps towards that every day. I can't accomplish everything today, but I definitely want to make progress.
Yeah, absolutely. Victory is victory. I absolutely love that because a lot of times you have like that North Star that's up that you're making sure that you follow. And then you're like, how the heck am I going to make it all the way there? But you do little small things each and every day, just, you know, staying true to that star or whatever goal you might have. And then next thing you know, you're actually there, maybe even beyond there. So I appreciate that. And now I wanted to ask you my absolute favorite question, which is the definition of what it means to be a CEO. And we're hoping to have different quote unquote CEOs on the show. So Chris, what does being a CEO mean to you?
Yeah, I immediately go very practical when I hear that. And so maybe that's just the way my brain works. But I think for me, the three things that I'm trying to keep my mind on in terms of what my role and my responsibility is here on a day-to-day basis is recognizing that it's my responsibility to cast vision. That's probably only something that I can do. And so nobody else is maybe thinking about that on the day-to-day. So the only things that I can do is really what the CEO role fits for me. So I'm casting vision, number one. Number two, keeping cash in the bank and just constantly kind of thinking about how that works. And then number three, getting the right people on our team. And if I'm doing those three things well, then everything else should be really being done really well by the other people on our team. And those are the things that only I can do.
Absolutely. And having that high level kind of perspective on those things and understanding exactly how they kind of snowball and manifest itself in all the different things that you're doing definitely, you know, makes perfect sense. So I appreciate that definition. And Chris, thank you for your time. What I want to do is pass you to the mic, so to speak, just to see if there's anything additional you can let our readers and listeners know and then how best they can find out about all the awesome things you're doing and get a hold of you.
Oh, wow. Thanks. Yeah. I'm excited about the book we have coming out in the fall. So maybe I'll just touch on that briefly. Mm-hmm. I shared a little bit of this earlier, but what we see in our country right now is there's a lot of division and a lot of us are frustrated by that, but then, you know, what do you do? And so you know, often when we talk about refugee stuff, obviously we're right in the middle of you know, what is a very controversial topic. And so for us, we just recognize that if we talk about the moral or ethics or, you know, just there's various ways we could kind of talk about this discussion, but it's going to polarize people. But we found if we talk about the economic impact, that it's really hard to argue that. So the book is really stats and stories discussing the economic impact that refugees are having on the marketplace. The bottom line is we need refugees more than they need us. We got to fill these open jobs we have. We want our economy to continue to grow. And that they're a very viable workforce that is that's ready to step in. And so excited to see that launch in the fall. If you want for more information on the book or just want to sign up for the pre-order or the launch team, it's refugeeworkforce.com. And you can get more information there and help us launch this out and get into the hands of the right people.
Awesome. 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 Well, I definitely appreciate you for, you know, making that dent. And I think you said the 7 million unemployment that we have in the country and definitely, you know, helping out the refugees as well. We'll have those links in the show notes just so that anybody can follow up with you, get a copy of the book and pre-order it or buy a copy as well. And thank you so much again. And I hope you have a phenomenal rest of the day.
Great. Thanks for the time.
Thank you for listening to the I Am CEO podcast powered by Blue 16 Media. Tune in next time and visit us at imceo.co. I Am CEO is not just a phrase, it's a community. Be sure to follow us on social media and subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Google Play, and everywhere you listen to podcasts. Subscribe and leave us a 5-star rating. Grab CEO gear at www.ceogear.co. This has been the I Am CEO podcast with Gresham Harkless. Thank you for listening.